Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Jared, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Jared and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jared.
I'm probably not going to talk to you about my drinking, because if you're listening to the show, then you may have come to the conclusion that you either have a problem with drinking or you may be a real alcoholic like me, and you've probably, you know how to drink and you've experienced some of the consequences of drinking. But I will tell you a lot about what I learned about the progressive nature of this illness, and I'll tell you about the solution I found in the rooms of AA and the message that's contained in the 12 steps, which is detailed in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my first AA meeting was when I was about 19, and I went along to this meeting at the behest of concerned employers and family members, and I proceeded to tell everyone in the room just about how much everyone else had a problem with me drinking, and I didn't have a problem whatsoever. And I must have been pretty convincing, because I managed to get a few people off my back, and I managed to leave these rooms, and I managed to distract myself from drinking for a number of years. But looking back, every time that I did drink, I drank alcoholically, and there was you know, substantial consequences when I drank excessively, and I never drank for, you know, the pleasure of or the taste of alcohol. I always drank for the effect, and I drank to black out when I got going. But at that stage of my drinking, it wasn't a daily thing. It was intermittent, but every time I drank, there was some severe consequences that, you know, I was able to rationalise and normalise and justify all my terrible behaviour. You know, I discovered that I had an allergy to alcohol, and in my case, that allergy normally resulted in me breaking out in handcuffs. And, you know, I got very good at convincing judges that, yeah, I might have a little bit of a problem and I'll do some things. But, and, you know, and during that period of time, I went to the occasional AA meeting, but I was still locked in denial and I wasn't willing to completely surrender. And I learnt the progressive nature of this disease. And there were some incredibly, you know, painful and difficult consequences of my drinking. And, you know, today I never thought that I would say that I'm a grateful alcoholic, but I am grateful that, you know, I learnt that. You know, I wish that I had been able to learn the things that I learnt in the big book of AA and by going through the steps, by the myriad of self-help books that I've read. But, you know, I'm the type of person that was only capable of learning through pain. And, you know, it's a scary thought, because I can't remember my last drink. My last drink came at a prolonged period of blackout, and I woke up in a coma, and that period of time had been preceded of multiple times coming in and out of AA, and having a desperation to stop drinking, but mainly to stop the consequences of my drinking. And I wasn't, you know, I should have hit rock bottom many, many, many times, but, you know, that denial and the insanity of my drinking was pretty intense, and you know, I was able to completely justify and normalise the things that were happening in my life. You know, I once heard a definition of guilt, and guilt was something that, guilt and shame were things that I was really locked into. You know, I was full of self and self-pity and self-entitlement and all of those manifestations of self, selfishness, self-centeredness, all of those sorts of things. And I heard this definition of guilt where it's a measurement of our ethics and values compared to our behaviour and the tension that's caused from when those two things are different, you know. But, you know, I discovered that I was a real alcoholic, and so rather than change my behaviour, I was willing to shift my ethics and values to the lowest point. And the things that I consider to be normal now, you know, I was willing to go down to a sort of very degrading level. You know, I was able to normalise. I thought it was everyone woke up in the morning, you know, vomiting bile and blood, and that I'd wake up in strange places and not know where I'd been the night before, that I'd lose days, you know, and that, you know, I couldn't keep any food down, you know, starting to go yellow, numerous visits to the A&E and such like, you know, and all of that became the new normal for me. And it was really the physical rather than emotional rock bottom for me, you know. I just go back to what I said before, that, you know, I woke up in a blackout in hospital, and I had a seizure in hospital, and I awoke after a coma of about 3 weeks, and I woke up with an overwhelming gift of desperation. I had to teach myself how to walk again, because I'd lost all of the nerve endings in my legs. I couldn't remember what I'd done the day before, and that continued on for a number of months. But but I was desperate to get into the rooms of AA, and I decided to start drinking so many times and failed that this time I didn't even promise myself I wouldn't drink this time. I just promised that I wouldn't drink until I went to the next meeting, and I was desperate enough to go to 3 meetings a day. You know, I'm very lucky that we have such an amazing fellowship here in Auckland, and, you know, there's a myriad of meetings, and so I'd get up, I'd go to that meeting, I would hear my story, you know, out in the rooms, and it would give me some hope, and that would get me through to the, you know, the lunchtime meeting, and then I'd go to that meeting, and then it'd get me through to the evening. And I knew that if I got home sober, you know, I'd get down on my knees and I'd thank God for having had a sober day, and then that would start again. And over a period of time, you know, my higher power removed the complete compulsion and fascination and with alcohol from me, and you know, God willing, if I follow this program, then that will always be away from me, and I don't really think about alcohol anymore. And so, but I was still left with me, and you know, there was a lot of things that I had to do to stay sober, and that was the hardest problem for me, because, you know, even today, you know, I don't go to meetings necessarily because I need to be cured of the need to drink, but I do need to be cured from the daily obsession that I have with myself, and that's why I go to meetings today, you know. And you know, I've been blessed with a sponsor who was willing to take me through the steps in a way that he was taken through them. He seemed to have been blessed with the ability to be able to see through some of my justifications and rationalizations. You know, he told me, or he suggested to me, that I shouldn't use the word "but" in a sentence, and, you know, as I was completely capable of doing. And and I finally became willing to do the steps, honestly, and I finally became willing to find a connection with the higher power. And it's really the connection with my higher power that that really saved my life, you know. I was one of those people whose chances were less than average, and, you know, a lot of people talk about, who've seen me struggle in the rooms and saw how sick I became in these rooms, both physically and emotionally, and talk about me in the context of being a walking miracle. And, you know, that's not true, and that I'm anything like a miracle, but a miracle did happen for me. You know, I kind of think that I walked up to the gates of hell. I was banging on the door and there were people calling me in, but I just kind of wandered off in a drunken stupor and woke up in hospital with this gift of desperation. You know, that's kept me sober today, and I know that if I lose that desperation that brought me into the rooms and made me willing to completely surrender to the simple program, then I'm doomed to forget it, because for me, alcoholism isn't a disease of relapse, it's a disease of forgetfulness. And if I forget of where I've come from and the action that I need to put into my program on a daily basis, then I'm prone to forget it. My self-will will come back, and, you know, and I'll invite chaos and drama into my life like I used to before. And, you know, this is an amazing program. You know, my connection with my higher power is the one thing that keeps me sober today. You know, I talk to my higher power on a daily basis. You know, I become full of fear sometimes, and I ask my higher power to guide my thoughts and my words and my actions. And, you know, he cut a pretty sweet deal to me. You know, I just don't have to pick up the first drink, and I have to be focused on applying myself to be helpful to other alcoholics in the rooms. And that's why I do things like this and other service positions, because it keeps me sober, because just for that period of time I'm not thinking about myself. And, you know, I thought my life was completely full, you know, before, and I found that my life was completely small, and my life is just really rich and full now, you know. I have amazing friends. Some of the promises have started to happen, and I'm actually grateful for those promises. And, you know, that miracle that I talked about, I see it in the rooms every day. I see people grow, get their life back, and get well. And that miracle is available for everyone who walks into this room and works the program 100%, because I guarantee you that you'll get everything out of this program if you put everything into it. So I'll just leave it there. Thanks very much for letting me share.
Hey, thanks, Gerard. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of the fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Donnie. Do you want to share?
Yeah, hi, I'm Donnie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Donnie.
So I've been in AA for nearly 2 years, so I'm coming up nearly 2 years sober, hopefully, in sort of, you know, 5 weeks. Who knows what could happen before then. But this has been my first attempt in AA, or my first attempt to get sober forever. I've never had anyone come to me and say, you've got a problem, or I hadn't been arrested yet, or crashed my car yet. So it was news to most people, and it was definitely news to me that I had a problem a few years ago. It changed really, really quickly from sort of 3 or 4 years ago and my drinking to sort of what happened in that last year or so. And I'm still really thankful that it was so obvious to me, and that I was old enough and aware enough to realise that was or could be a problem. I still feel that, like, everyone has, you know, we're here because we drink too much and when we're alcoholics. There are loads of similarities in how we felt and what happened, but there's also, you know, differences in our experiences. And for me, I felt like, you know, starting to drink as a teenager, even into my 20s, it was pretty average. You know, I don't remember getting blackout drunk. Nothing disastrous sort of happened. So no one in my... I was 39 when I came in. So no one in my 39 years had ever pointed out that they thought my drinking was a problem. To realise it myself was quite confronting, but also much easier for me to deal with and to do something about, because it just came from me. So I literally, you know, 2 years ago, it had sort of, it had changed so much that sort of a few years before, when that life had been quite difficult, you know, and been sort of properly miserable and depressed. Then over a few years, things improved hugely. I had a job I really liked. I had a flat I really liked by myself. You know, I was doing well, and I was doing a lot better than I had been for quite a few years before that. And even so, my drinking changed really quickly from 1 year to the next. And I was sort of miserable, but didn't know why. And, yeah, it sort of became less of a social, enjoyable thing to do, and more just a kind of a compulsion, and I just did it without really thinking, and always ended up drinking more than I meant to, and started doing really stupid stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I had no idea that I actually had a drinking problem. I just thought I had, like, a happiness problem because I didn't have very much of it. But in the back of my head, sort of coming up to Christmas 2 years ago, I thought I might just sort of stop drinking for January and, you know, have a bit of a health kick, which I'd done plenty of times before. But as I drank my way through that December 2 years ago, quite miserably and not really even enjoying it anymore, I sort of thought it might have to be for the rest of my life, which is, you know, a bit confronting. So, yeah, a few days into January, I went to my first AA meeting, and fortunately I heard enough straight away, and, you know, in a room full of old men, that I could relate to, and thought, you know, insert swear word here, I've got what they've got. And sort of, it was, yeah, at the same time, sort of the worst thing ever, but the biggest relief ever. And I'm really pleased that I could relate to people in the rooms of AA straight away, as weird as the whole thing seems, in those first few meetings. I was so nervous, I couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't really look at anyone. I thought it was weird when people come and talk to me and be really friendly and kind and encouraging. It was just all really, really terrifying and really confronting, but so comforting at the same time. So I kind of eventually, I eventually kind of started doing the program and started doing all the suggested things. It took me quite a while, because I was scared and nervous and shy and terrified. But, you know, eventually I got a sponsor and I joined a home group and I started working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which in my experience has been most difficult stuff I've done. But with the clarity of, having an alcohol-free brain, whether it's drunk or hungover or whatever, you do this really hard stuff, and I mean, I still can't believe I'm doing it half the time, but then really amazing stuff happens as a result. And I think I, like most people, I like to think I'm not too cynical or too sort of suspicious, but it took me a long time to sort of, I guess, embrace AA and start to sort of trust it and not just be kind of weirded out by it. But now I have an amazing sponsor. I have a whole bunch of people I can call anytime, and they'll totally understand where I'm coming from. I now sponsor other people, and that's kind of a whole other level of, I don't know, just feel amazing about myself, basically, getting to help other humans. It's a real privilege, and the things that I've gained through doing the program and through the fellowship of just, yeah, having those relationships and those friendships with my sponsor, with other people, I hadn't kind of no idea, you know, even 18 months ago, that this sort of would be possible. In the early days, I didn't drink every day. I was often so ill from the night before I couldn't drink every day. I never sort of went to meetings every day. I just sort of figured out what worked for me, which was kind of, you know, every second day. Sometimes more on the weekend. I mean, sometimes at the moment when I'm feeling great, I might go to 4 meetings in a weekend because I can and because they're meetings that I like and I want to, not because I'm desperately, you know, craving to drink or anything. It's just part of my life, and I don't think of it as a chore. I enjoy it, and it is kind of, yeah, I guess it's sort of the most important thing. If you're listening to this program, then you may be a bit concerned or interested when it comes to your own drinking. All I could suggest, I've got a friend in the South Island at the moment who's just come to me in the last couple of weeks, and I was really shy about people knowing I was an AA, that I was an alcoholic, because they're really big words, and for ages, and I sort of kept on the down low for a really long time. But now that, all of my friends know, and lots of my acquaintances now know, so the fact that this guy could get in touch with me because he sort of heard through other people, it's a really powerful, awesome thing. I guess I wish people talked about it a bit more often. There's lots of, I don't know, it's that thing that when you first come into AA and people say, listen to the similarities, not the differences. There's loads of differences with all of us, all around the place. But the stuff that we can connect with around our drinking and how we feel, not how much we drank or not necessarily what happened, but that, the feelings that I really connect with other people. It's sort of massively healing stuff. All I can suggest to people is that if anything you hear makes sense to you, just be brave and go to a meeting. Because being able to connect with complete strangers who you're not concerned about what you will say or hurt their feelings or worry them or whatever, is incredibly powerful. And I'm super, super pleased and appreciate that I live in Auckland where there's meetings on all the time. As soon as I start feeling restless and irritable and discontent, even if I went to a meeting the night before, I can just go to another meeting, and I've never left a meeting feeling worse than when I walked in. I sometimes leave just feeling a bit relieved, and I often leave feeling, a million times more relieved to have that connection with other people. I think that's all I've got today.
Thanks, Donnie. This is 104.6 Planet FM with the Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we have members of the fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Our last speaker this morning is Catherine. Would you like to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, my name's Catherine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
I drank for 37 years, which is a large chunk of my life. For 37 years, I was under the delusion that I could drink normally. And it took AA to smash that delusion and to actually force me to understand that bodily and mentally I was not like others, and that I could not and would never be able to drink normally. So I lived under this delusion, and delusion was really something that characterised my whole life. I started drinking at 15, and it was no coincidence that I was home alone when all my friends were out socialising, because I was terrified of socialising. I felt like an outlier, like I didn't belong. And being with other people, especially my own age, terrified me because I never felt like I fitted in. So home alone on a Saturday night, picked up some alcohol in my parents' cabinet and drank to excess, vodka it was, drank to excess. I had no idea what was happening to me, but I do remember getting to bed and being very, very sick. And sadly enough, the way I started drinking was the way I ended my drinking, which was to excess, largely on my own and into blackout. So my drinking progressed like many other people. And in the beginning, I didn't drink on a daily basis, but whenever I did drink, it was to excess. I would often set out to drink one or two glasses with conviviality, but I just couldn't stop. Once I started drinking, I couldn't stop, and that is a characterization of alcoholism, this disease we all have. So what happens when you drink like this things don't develop. And I think for me, emotionally, I stopped developing at 15, which is quite tragic, especially when you come to at 52 and you are emotionally 15. It's seriously not cute at all. So what happens is I picked up my first drink to escape reality. I hated reality. It was terrifying. It was uncomfortable. It actually physically hurt, the loneliness and the disconnection I had. So when I picked up that drink, I was removed from it. I was having a holiday from myself. And, you know, it was like an elixir. And so I would continue to drink whenever I felt uncomfortable, which was pretty much all the time. And I also learned that I didn't like feeling. I didn't like feeling anxious. I didn't like feeling scared. I even felt nervous getting really happy, and often I'd be euphoric or really depressed. And alcohol helped alleviate those symptoms. You know, if I was really happy, I'd have a drink. If I was really unhappy, I'd have a drink. If I was bored, I'd have a drink. And drinking became my way of coping with reality. And that's what's really sad, is that I'm only just learning to live in reality now. So for 37 years, I would escape into my fantasy world, because this was a world I could control. And in it, I was the centre of the universe. I was it. You know, I could put myself in the middle where I was safe. And in that time, I would often try and control things because I was scared of what would happen if I didn't. And for me, it's been about controlling, trying to control my world. And when you try and control your world, you get yourself into a lot of trouble, because you're dealing with people who have instincts too, who don't want to be controlled by you, who actually don't think necessarily that your way is the right way. And I've butted up against people my whole life, 37 years of my life. I have thought, I'm right, you guys are all wrong, slightly inferior, truth be told, while I was in my fantasy bubble. And would regularly, you know, come to blows, or relationships would fall apart. I was fighting people, places and things the whole time. And actually, that's really tiring. And so I'd have to come home and have a drink because I was exhausted. And of course, it was never a drink. I love that euphemism. It was never a drink. It was several drinks, because I do not know how to drink normally. I never have, and I never will. When I pick up one, I pick up 20. I pick up till I cannot drink anymore. And so I continued like this for 37 years, and as I think Jared mentioned, it's progressive. And whilst I might not have been a daily drinker to start with, certainly by the end I was, and I was drinking regularly into blackout and became my norm. And my life just became really, really small and dark, like a tunnel looking through and seeing how other people live their lives, and I just seemed to be spending more and more of my time drinking, thinking about drinking, or recovering from drinking. And in that time, my spirit failed to flourish. And that's what I have AA to thank for, is that it helped me understand that I could not drink. I recovered bodily pretty quickly. Mentally, it's a daily issue. I have to do the right things every day. And spiritually, I had to start from scratch. I could not have done that with the help of AA. It's helped me with the 12-step program to let go, to hand things over, that I'm not in control, but things will be fine. And for someone like me, that is a huge paradigm shift. But so liberating to be able to go out each day and think, have faith that things will be fine. And I do this on a daily basis. I know that I will never be healed from this disease, that I am an alcoholic and will always be. And with AA's help, I can, with each day, make it a good day. So thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Catherine. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz or call 0800 AA Works, and that will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.